Chapter 25, The Israelites Leave Egypt. Before the morning broke, the people of Israel were on their way. During the plagues the Israelites had gradually assembled in Goshen. Some provision had already been made for the necessary organization and control of the moving multitudes, they being divided into companies under appointed leaders. And they went out, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, not only those actuated by faith in the God of Israel, but also a far greater number who desired only to escape from the plagues. This class were ever a hindrance and a snare to Israel. The people took with them flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Before leaving Egypt, the people claimed a recompense for their unpaid labor, and the bondmen went forth laden with the spoil of their oppressors. And it came to pass, that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. The Israelites bore with them the bones of Joseph, which, during the dark years of bondage, had been a reminder of Israel's promised deliverance. Instead of pursuing the direct route to Canaan through the country of the Philistines, the Lord directed their course southward toward the shores of the Red Sea. For God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." The Philistines, regarding them as slaves escaping from their masters, would not have hesitated to make war upon them. The Israelites had little knowledge of God and little faith in Him, and they would have become terrified and disheartened. They were unarmed and unaccustomed to war, their spirits were depressed by long bondage, and they were encumbered with women and children, flocks and herds. In leading them by the Red Sea, the Lord revealed Himself as a God of compassion. The Pillar of Cloud. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Says the psalmist, "He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night." See also, it served as a protection from the burning heat, and by its coolness and moisture afforded grateful refreshment in the parched, thirsty desert. By night it became a pillar of fire, illuminating their encampment and constantly assuring them of the divine presence. Across a dreary, desert-like expanse they journeyed. Already they were becoming weary with the toilsome way, and some hearts began to fear pursuit by the Egyptians. But the cloud went forward, and they followed. Now the Lord directed Moses to turn aside into a rocky defile and encamp beside the sea. It was revealed to him that Pharaoh would pursue them, but that God would be honored in their deliverance. Pharaoh's counselors declared to the king that their bondmen had fled, never to return. Their great men, recovering from their fears, accounted for the plagues as the result of natural causes. "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" was the bitter cry. Pharaoh collected his forces, 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, horsemen, captains, and foot soldiers. The king himself, attended by the great men of his realm, headed the attacking army. The Egyptians feared lest their forced submission to God should subject them to the derision of other nations. If they should now go forth with a great show of power and bring back the fugitives, they would redeem their glory, as well as recover the services of their bondmen. The Hebrews were encamped beside the sea, a seemingly impassable barrier before them, while on the south a rugged mountain obstructed their further progress. Suddenly they beheld in the distance flashing armor and moving chariots. Terror filled the hearts of Israel. The greater part hastened to Moses with their complaints, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, than that we should die in the wilderness." True, There was no possibility of deliverance unless God Himself should interpose for their release, but having been brought into this position in obedience to the divine direction, Moses felt no fear of the consequences. His calm and assuring reply to the people was, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." The hosts of Israel, lacking discipline and self-control, became violent and unreasonable. Their wailings and lamentations were loud and deep. The wonderful pillar of cloud had been followed as the signal of God to go forward, but now had it not led them on the wrong side of the mountain, into an impassable way? The angel of God appeared to their deluded minds as the harbinger of disaster. As the Egyptian host approached them, the cloudy column rose majestically into the heavens, passed over the Israelites, and ascended between them and the armies of Egypt. The Egyptians could no longer discern the camp of the Hebrews and were forced to halt. But as night deepened, the wall of cloud became a great light to the Hebrews. Then hope returned to the hearts of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." As Moses stretched out his rod, the waters parted, and Israel went into the midst of the sea, upon dry ground, while the waters stood like a wall upon each side. The light from God's pillar of fire lighted the road cut like a furrow through the waters. The end of Pharaoh's army. The Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass, that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Thunders pealed and lightning flashed. The Egyptians were seized with confusion. They endeavored to retrace their steps, but Moses stretched out his rod, and the piled up waters rushed together and swallowed the Egyptian army in their black depths. As morning broke, it revealed to Israel all that remained of their mighty foes, mail-clad bodies cast upon the shore. From the most terrible peril, Jehovah had brought complete deliverance, and to Him their hearts were turned in gratitude and faith. The Spirit of God rested upon Moses, and he led the people in a triumphant anthem of thanksgiving, the earliest and one of the most sublime known to man. It was taken up by the women of Israel, Miriam, the sister of Moses, leading the way, as they went forth with timbrel and dance. Far over desert and sea rang the joyous refrain, and the mountains re-echoed the words of their praise, "Sing ye to Jehovah, for He hath triumphed gloriously." That song does not belong to the Jewish people alone. It points forward to the destruction of all the foes of righteousness and the final victory of the Israel of God. The prophet of Patmos beheld the white-robed multitude that have gotten the victory, standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. In freeing our souls from the bondage of sin, God has wrought for us a deliverance greater than that of the Hebrews at the Red Sea. Like the Hebrew host, we should praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice for His wonderful works to the children of men. What compassion, what matchless love, has God shown in connecting us with Himself, to be to Him a peculiar treasure. What a sacrifice has been made by our Redeemer, that we may be called children of God. The redeemed will sing. "Whoso offereth praise, says the Creator, glorifieth me. All the inhabitants of heaven unite in praising God. Let us learn the song of the angels now, that we may sing it when we join their shining ranks." God brought the Hebrews into the mountain fastnesses before the sea that He might manifest His power and signally humble the pride of their oppressors. He chose this method to test their faith and strengthen their trust in him. If the people had held back when Moses bade them advance, God would never have opened the path for them. It was by faith that they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. In marching down to the very water, they showed that they believed the word of God spoken by Moses. Then the Mighty One of Israel divided the sea to make a path for their feet. Often life is beset by dangers, and duty seems hard to perform. Imagination pictures impending ruin. Yet the voice of God speaks clearly, "Go forward." We should obey this command, even though our eyes cannot penetrate the darkness, and we feel the cold waves about our feet. Those who defer obedience till every uncertainty disappears and there remains no risk of failure or defeat will never obey at all, but faith courageously urges an advance. The path where God leads may lie through the desert or the sea, but it is a safe path.